It's all about timing and making sure you hit all your deadlines.
Calgary Show Services presents the Event Planning Podcast, featuring interviews with industry professionals to help you produce your next event.
On today's podcast, I join Andrea Llewellyn in her new space, Voltage Creative Garage. She provides us with an inside look at political events, working with a restaurant as your venue, and we spoke about accessibility for patrons with disabilities. I started off by asking her to tell me a bit about some of the projects she's done.
I do a lot of different things. I've worked in music. I've worked in, political event planning. I've done kind of a variety of things throughout the city. I'm really into kind of community development through like active engagement, and events really play into that a lot.
And we're sitting in your new space in Marda Loop.
Yeah, I'm opening kind of a community art studio sort of center thing happening in Marda Loop. It's in an old auto mechanic garage, and we've named it Voltage Creative Garage is our kind of title for it. We've been working on it for like a year, but it's almost there. We're so close. We've kind of got all our permits kind of lined up in a row now, and we're just kind of getting the last checks done. And yeah.
Were there any commonalities in the permitting process, comparing like this space to running an event with like liquor licensing and things like that? Yeah.
Most of the events I've done, I haven't done had to do a ton of events direct, like ton of permits directly through the city. Usually there's like some bigger body that's doing that stuff, and I'm more doing small stuff. But yeah, like liquor licensing is a lot. Let's just say it's a lot easier than getting permits to do like construction or opening a building. There's a lot more red tape at the city of Calgary than that. But I hear doing street events and stuff aren't too bad. Like community events aren't as bad. Yeah.
And I understand that you're hoping to have events here, but what kind of limitations have you found like with the space or with the permitting process for hosting events in this space?
Well, there's some commonalities there. We wanted to have some music in the space. We kind of talked to the BRZ about it. They seemed really cool about it at the beginning, and then they got less cool about it pretty quick. And that was kind of a disappointment because we really did want to have some like cool community kind of type events here. So anything we do, we're going to have to be a lot more low key than we kind of hoped. But that said, we do have a space that's kind of multi-purpose, and we can have small, intimate kind of theater events, or like we've had some theater groups that say, we'd love to do, once a month have theater thing here. Or, you can kind of look at, we're doing workshops, and those are kind of events too, right? So a lot of the stuff we're going to do is very learning-based and communal growing.
So when you have a workshop, how do you plan on promoting that event to the public?
Well, our space is pretty small, so we'll definitely like have it on our website and like be throwing it up on our social media. But in terms of like size and stuff, I think we'll probably focus on kind of avenues online where it's like directly relevant. So for instance, we have somebody who's going to be putting on youth photography classes for kids. So for those, we'd probably go to Calgary's Child or like magazine or whatever and try to get those listed there. But a little bit of that onus will be on the person who's directing the workshop, obviously. It's kind of a collaborative thing. Like, we want their events to be successful, but at the same time, it has to be on them a bit too.
So they're kind of bringing their own audience and you're providing the space.
Exactly. It's more like that, but we do want to definitely be supporting whoever is in here. Yeah.
And recently during the election, you helped to coordinate an event for Kent Hur. Mm-hmm. I was wondering, what it felt like when the night finally culminated, like when the moment had arrived.
Oh my God, that event was so crazy. Like, there were so many little things that people didn't know went wrong. But I had nightmares about the things that went wrong after, but nobody knew. And that was what mattered, because we were only expecting 300 people that night and we got 600. And so some of our like food platters didn't go out. I think, I'm not even sure 100%. I'm just kind of like putting it behind me a little bit because it was so crazy. And I was volunteering for that. So it's kind of like, well, it is what it is. But it was kind of a crazy night because I was kind of directing some of, there's people that were supposed to have come to the campaign, like to our campaign party, who didn't show up because they were back at the campaign headquarters dealing with the fact that our numbers were up and down, up and down, up and down all night. So while Trudeau had won, Kent Harris numbers were going like, we were up, you know, up 7%, down 7%, up 1%, down 1%. And it was like that all the way until the time that we finally like won by 1.2% of the vote. So there was all these people that were supposed to be directing things at the party who couldn't be because they were dealing with stuff at the campaign headquarters. So I was trying to make decisions about whether we should be throwing up the numbers on the wall or not, because that had been a plan. And so I definitely held off on that for over an hour because I could see the numbers and I knew how bad they were at the beginning of the night for Kent. And so I just kind of sat on it for a while and was like, okay, I don't want people leaving. I don't want people like upset. So let's try to like,
how did you keep a cool head while all of that is going on?
I just like couldn't think about it. Like there's too many other things to make sure we're set up and right, and just like hope that everything worked out in our favor. And at the very end of it, like what was so good about that party was people were already celebrating by the time they got there, because it was a Liberal Party event and there was only like two Liberal Party events in the entire city. Well, there's a couple small ones, but like these were the big ones. And so people were already celebrating by the time they got there because the Liberals had won a majority and the numbers were already coming in from Eastern Canada. So I was really lucky where it's like, regardless, it was going to be a victory party by the time the doors opened. One of the biggest challenges was people were trying to come to the party early at like 6:30 when we told everyone like doors weren't opening until I think 8:30. So trying to hold out like a whole bunch of like political like types was very difficult. Like they were like protesting outside the front doors and I had to lock them out. And I've never had to do that to anyone before, especially a bunch of like they were all older people and these weren't like hoodlum music, like, you know, music fans. Like these were like decent, like normal citizens, like, you know,
normal music fans aren't normal citizens.
They are, but it's different. Like they're used to kind of waiting outside, but they're used to waiting outside, but if they're trying to force their way into a venue, usually it's a little bit more like intense and rough. These people were like guilt tripping me like crazy. And it was like grandpas and like people with like canes and like top hats. And I was told not, like, we couldn't let them in. Like we weren't ready to set up and they'd come early. And I had to say to them, like, look, like, can you please come back in 2 hours? Like, oh, it was so hard being like, I'm sorry, you need to come back later.
What was it like to deal with the venue? Like,
were there any... The venue was fantastic. Yeah. Like, the Bank and Barron, they were like just like total yes people. And they were really excited to have us. They loved the opportunity. We worked really well with them. It was fantastic. I really liked them.
Were there any special considerations, like, working with a venue like that as opposed to, you know, planning a show outdoors or something like that?
So like some of the special considerations, for instance, was it's a heritage building. So you can't use anything except masking tape on the walls, which can be difficult when you're trying to decorate a venue. Additionally, the shape of the venue is a little bit tough. Like it's an old fashioned kind of, it's a heritage building, but the way the door, like the door, how big the doors were was a problem. Like Kent Hare himself was a bit of a logistics issue because I'd set up a room for him to privately do interviews and whatnot, and like it was kind of like his VIP room. But then we discovered, and we didn't think to look at this, his wheelchair was too wide to get into the doors because it was his heritage building. So that was a consideration we had to make. With regards to the stage, getting him on stage was hard, and there is a whole issue where I went to go pick up his ramp and he'd accidentally taken it with him to wherever he was waiting for results, and I couldn't get access to it, so we had to try and set it up in the middle of a crowd, and it was like 10 feet long or more, and that was like, I felt like time stopped in that moment when he showed up to do his victory speech and like trying to set up that ramp. It was awful. It was not a simple ramp to set up, I can tell you, and I didn't get a chance to test it. It was just like okay, we'll find a way to get that guy on stage and hopefully it works out. And
it did.
It did. It worked yeah. fine. It was great. But it almost didn't. And it was a hectic moment. Also, like, trying to fit a stage in that venue because of all the nooks and crannies that were there and where washrooms and exits were located and their staircases. And then also, like, with regards to kids, like, we couldn't really have kids in the building. One of the issues was, like, we were concerned about all the railings and where they would hide and out and trying to keep track of kids in kind of space like that. And having to ask for a liquor license extension, just like a bunch of things. It was an interesting event.
To extend it so that the kids would be able to be in the space.
Yeah. So to request for it to be like, yeah, for minors to be allowed for later. Yeah. Mm.
And what about the punchy?
What I do, the punchy?
Yeah. Tell me about it.
That was something I started when I was doing more music management kind of stuff. What I found is, like, I was quite a bit younger. It was like, I started doing independent music stuff in 2008. And then I started doing, that was just like show production, like really small show production at UC. And then I got kind of recruited into like an agency that didn't really work out. They were just so far away and they didn't really have, they just didn't have the time and capacity to kind of plan to have someone out west at that time. So I kind of left that. And then I had a mentor here that I was working with for a while. And like I kind of looked around and I went, it would be easier if I had like a name to work under. I look really young. I'm a young person. So if I have a company name, it might be easier to kind of represent myself better online. So that's what I did. And I was trying to think of a name and I wanted something that kind of represented my background and like my personality. And I don't know, my friend was just like, I don't know, we ended up coming up with something like punchy. I think it was artist management at first and then it changed.
Where were the shows at the university? Like?
Oh, it was that empty space.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But it's not where it is now. It was like a different room and it started like in 2005, someone else had started it. And it kind of was this thing that was passed down like year in Students Union and someone would run it. And we'd have artists like Feist has played there, I believe, Kanon, Mother played there a bunch of times, I think. They said the Whales played that room and it was about 100 person room. Yeah.
And how did you promote the shows within that space?
We basically put up posters and then it was a lot of word of mouth. And you see, the one thing when you're doing event planning and whatnot is you kind of have to, consistency is really key. So you want people to plan your event into their schedule. So like one-off events are different, obviously, but if you're doing a regular event, you want it to be the same time every week and for people to get to know it and then get there, especially with the university students. So with our venue, it was such a popular event that people would plan their school schedule around going to that empty space.
So you seem like a pretty prolific volunteer-er, like someone who is volunteering for multiple things. How did you... Why do you do that? And like, what kind of gratification do you get from it?
that's something I talk about a lot. I decided that I was just going to have my own internship. I was going to make my own internship. So what I did was I just volunteered for like everything all the time. And eventually when it came down to things, like when I asked for things, it worked out. So I sort of interned. It was paid, but I contracted to Tooth Blackner Presents in 2012, and then again in kind of in 2013. And I'm still in touch with him. He's kind of like a mentor. Greg Curtis is kind of like a mentor to me a bit. And I've done a bunch of different things for him. And that kind of happened because I was working for the Students Union, and the Students Union was really more of a volunteer gig. Like, I wasn't getting paid much for that. But I met him through that, and then I continued to volunteer in the Calgary music scene everywhere I possibly could. So then I would always see him, and then when I asked him for coffee, he ended up hiring me when I asked him for coffee, which is, was not something I had kind of foreseen. It was really cool to kind of get, like, that experience working with him, because at the time he was managing some various artists, like Michael Bernard Fitzgerald, and he was also putting on a bunch of really, really big shows. And even today, like, if I asked him, like, oh, can I, like, you know, shadow you on this gig or something, he would say yes. I've done that before, even after I wasn't contracting there. I was like, can I job shadow you?
So what kind of experiences have you had with the musicians, or what are the biggest challenges working with the artists themselves at the events?
this disorganization. Like, it's funny because how many musicians are like, I need a manager, but they really need a mom. Like that's really, that's a big joke. A lot of people like don't do as much artist management with like young artists because what they really need is someone to help organize their stuff, but you can't organize it. They have to organize that for themselves a lot because they to pay somebody to organize all that stuff for you, like, it costs money. So you either need somebody who is like devoted to
what kind of stuff though? Their timing, hotel, merchandise,
tours, like contacting media, like getting their music videos together, you know, getting them on time, like on time with their album releases. Like a lot of the music industry is about timing. It's the same with events. It's all about timing and making sure you hit all your deadlines. A lot with music industry is kind of like you want your album in advance, so then you can then shop it out to people and or use it for promotions. And you want to set up your like your public relations kind of and publicity schedule well in advance of your tour. And like, there's no point in releasing an album really. Like you could, if you're a new artist, release an album so you have something to show people. But if you're trying to really make it like a business for yourself and actually be successful in the music industry, you really need to be really, like have your album out, like ready to go, like at least 6 months, maybe even a year before you actually want to kind of push it really hard so you can set up all your ducks in a row so it all, they all work out and you can kind of get the momentum going and then play the festival season, you know, the festival season and get into all these big conferences and stuff to get seen and heard. Otherwise,
what about
it's
producing your own events. How far in advance would you consider from planning to execution?
Ideally, you want at least 3 months. I think like more, but it's hard because like you need to also look at where the promotion is. So if you're trying to get your stuff into Avenue Magazine, they plan like 3 to 6 months in advance. So to get something into their magazine is tough. So sometimes that's just like you don't even consider them as like a place to promote your stuff. But I'd say at least 3 months, and then you can also get your promo stuff out and whatnot. In the music industry, it's 3 to 6 months for booking tours and stuff. 3 months minimum.
How are you promoting in advance, and do you do ticket pre-sale or?
Ticket pre-sales are really good because like people are then committed to come, and then you also have guaranteed funds. I would say you want to make sure you're like Instagramming and social mediaing like a couple times a week on it. Yeah, and then also you want to make sure you get your events in all the calendars in town. So there's the CGSW calendar, there's now the Calgary Buzz calendar, there's Tourism Calgary's calendar, there's Calgary Culture's calendar, and then you can also contact Swerve, and I don't know if Calgary Sun has stuff right now. But then also you can go on, there's a Shaw TV has a calendar, and places where people check for events is key.
Have you ever had experience with sponsorships?
Yeah, I've definitely worked with smaller ones where you get people to donate things for silent auctions and whatnot, or when it's coming to bigger events, like trying to pay, like if it's a fundraiser or something, or a community event, like the Mission Possible event that I've done with you. Yeah, the one community sponsorship I got that was really big for that was the Original Joe's really came on board for the Mission Possible thing, which was amazing, and just like served hamburgers for free all day, which was insane.
Yeah,
like that was
awesome.
Unreal. Yeah, and the hamburgers were so good. I was so impressed. But yeah, that was unreal, and it was really just kind of like when you're looking for sponsors, like one, don't be afraid to ask the question, and two, like, try and find someone that's appropriate. Like, look at where your connections are, look at where people might have like an onus to like get involved, and it might be in their mutual best interest. That's a big thing, like just in general with events, like you want to kind of have a mutual benefit, like official relationship with like everyone that you're working with, and so you don't want anyone to come out of it, well at least I don't ever, I don't want people coming out of it feeling like they, you know, it wasn't in their best interest being part of that event.
What about campaigns like Kickstarter and things like that to fund an event in advance, have it paid for?
I've seen that happen. A friend of mine did one of those recently for like an art fund. She did a Kickstarter for a fundraiser she was going to run. So she raised $900 in advance, and then the $900 went to her cost for her event, and then she raised more money at the event. I'm not sure how much money she raised at the actual event, but I'm hoping it's around $3,000. But I think that's kind of interesting. I'm not sure how I feel about it, to be quite honest. I think it depends on the context. Like if you're raising money for a fundraiser, that's kind of an interesting idea, like raising, yeah, I don't know.
Kind of for the costs to put on the event.
Yeah, in advance, especially if it's something that's like going to benefit people. I think that really, people like, that resonates with people. But like actually doing a Kickstarter to like fund events that's just an event seems kind of odd to me. But if it's something that's like, it's something that's never been done and is benefiting a community, so like for instance, like a festival it's trying to launch, to me then that makes sense. It's like, okay, you're trying to launch a festival for the first time, you guys are all artists trying to do something that'll benefit the arts and the community as a whole. Then I'm kind of like, okay, I get that. That's cool. I see what you're doing here.
I think the FemWave, I'm pretty sure they used Kickstarter to do that.
And I think that thought that was brilliant. Like it, that was really like they got $5,000 in advance. They did something, and that was it was going to benefit the community at large. It had never been done before. They were all individuals. They weren't profiting from it. Like that makes sense.
What other things do you have planned? Like once you've kind of have this space rolling, is there anything specific in your mind? Like you want to? I just want to put this kind of show on at this kind of space.
If I could hear, you know, I think kind of what I see happening, like, is doing some acoustic shows that I can record. I think that would be really cool that we can, like, film and, you know, have, like, maybe 30 people in the room and, you know, film it at the same time and kind of do a podcast or something. I think that would be really dope, or even do, like, a music video with, like, dancers or something. I have some ideas. I'd really like to see more dance involved in like local music. Like we have so many great local dance groups, and I'm not seeing a lot of crossover. So I'm not going to events and seeing like dancers involved. The only event in town that is doing crossover is 10 at 10 at Commonwealth. I don't know if you know 10 at 10. They're Benny Johnson is fantastic. I'm a big fan of him. But yeah, he does a lot of hip hop promotion in town. And this event is basically a showcase event. So it's 10 bands, or sorry, 10 artists starting at 10 o'clock. I think they do 10 minutes each or something. And yeah, it's just a showcase event. And this includes dance, and they have dancers that perform. And it's really cool, yeah. So I'd like to see some more stuff like, you know, crossover with music and dance in town. And not just with hip hop, but with other things. So. But yeah, basically for the space, like what we're looking at, like event-wise, is a lot of workshops that will engage community members in different kinds of like learning opportunities, right? So yeah, like the kids photography. Oh yeah, I said kids photography before, but also like there's sewing workshops that we got approached on, and photography workshops, and then photography photo shoots, and the, you know, this room has a lot it can offer, and it's nice because it's just cement walls, so it's durable, and we got great light coming from these windows, so. Yeah, I think it has a lot of potential in what we can offer in here.
So where can people find out information about the space?
We have a website. It's voltagegarage.ca. We're also on Facebook and Instagram. I think it's Voltage Garage on Instagram as well. But the full name is Voltage Creative Garage. Just Voltage Creative Garage would mean like a really long like website name, so yeah. I shortened it. We're online. We're launching a Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Now that I talk about Kickstarters. Okay. Launching a Kickstarter. I'm kind of hoping to turn the space kind of into a kind of a society eventually, but the moment it's just me and my buddy Kelly Johnsgaard.
And what about yourself? Where can people find out about you?
Oh gosh, on Facebook probably. I have a Facebook profile, Andrea Llewellyn. But I also have a website, but I don't really update it a ton. It's mostly just so people know kind of what I'm about and they can find me and know what I do. But I don't update too much. I also have The Punchy on Facebook. Yeah. But
great.
Basically, that's where you can find me, or you can email me if you want.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
I'll chat soon.
Yeah, sounds good. Bye. Thanks.
Thank you for listening. This podcast was produced by Duncan Kenworthy, Eric Jesse, and Chris Benoit. Visit us online at calgaryshowservices.com to join our monthly newsletter for inventory updates and event insights.